Random thought. How do you feel about this concept of sex positivity? And the reason I'm asking is because you and I watched The Black Bachelor, as we called it. And one of the contestants.
No, they were all characters.
They were all characters. But one of the contestants, Katie Thurston, who is now the Bachelorette, when she came on, when she got out the limo, she had this vibrator and she showed it to Matt. And so now that she's the Bachelorette.
And then kept she's, it. Was like, no, I think I may need it.
Yeah. And like, so now that she's the Bachelorette. Anyway? Now that she's the Bachelorette, you know, she's bringing this concept of sex positivity to the Bachelorette, and it's caused a whole lot of dialogue this week.
Question, because I don't want you to keep going, and everybody else is sitting here like me, like, what the fuck is sex positivity? Is it that, hey, I've got a vibrator and you can use it too? Or
no, that's, or is that's it, just
I
gross.
Tested positive for sex this weekend.
So the concept of sex positivity, it can mean different things to different people, but it's the idea that sex is a positive thing in someone's overall life. It also means removing the stigma and shame from individuals' Check. Sexual choices. You know, and so when you think about the Bachelorettes, you know, when they're on these shows, you know, in the past, some of the Bachelorettes have admitted to having sex with some of the guys, either in the fantasy suites or whichever. And then they wind up getting kind of slut-shamed, you know, by the Twitter world and social media, but yet no one says anything to the guys about it. And so I think it's great that she's bringing this, but wanted to see, hey, what do you think? Especially knowing that when you watch these reality shows, stuff is going to happen, but no one says anything negative about the guy. It's only like if the women admit that they've slept with someone, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, it's like a big deal.
So basically life. I got you. You know, as the father of a young lady, I don't condone sex before marriage. that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
We all know that's bullshit.
You know, interesting thing about it. I remember in college when I went to when I left UTSA, I went to Fayetteville State. There was a young lady on campus who. And people had this stigma about her. Oh, she had done this, she had done this. And I remember just the conversation that she had. And she was like, look, when I got to college, I was like, I'm just going to do me. I'm going to have fun. Right? And it's what guys do. Guys go to college and go, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to get. And the question becomes with guys and this double standard of thinking is, if you're sleeping with all these women, who are these women sleeping with? Right? Because... Mm-hmm. If you're sleeping around, who are you sleeping around with? Are you sleeping around with other guys? Are you sleeping around with women? If you're sleeping around with women, that means then, you know, you can't have this, well, I've got to marry a virgin. Why? You know, remember when people used to ask that question of, well, how many people have you slept with? And if it's over this number or that, you know, you stop asking that question very early when you don't want to answer that question yourself. So I think if that's where the sex positivity is rooted in and erasing the stigma, yes. But does it give you the free will to just be all willy-nilly? Because I saw the question becomes, are you going to be safe still in your activity? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you're with one or 100. If you're not safe, bad things can happen regardless.
That's quite true, right? But I think the concept for me is like it's your choice. If you want to go wild and sleep with everybody, do that. Whether you're male or female, do what you enjoy. As long as you're safe, do what you enjoy. But if one person feels like that's not a part of their values and their morals and they think it's wrong for them to do it, great. But you shouldn't think it's wrong for other people to do it just because you wouldn't. Right. I think that's the concept for me. And, you know, I was looking at this, I was kind of scrolling through some dating profiles and this one girl, she had kind of like what she's looking for. And she's like, and guys, I'm not going to sleep with you in the first three dates. I'm not a whore. So if that's what you're looking for, you know, try to match with me. And I'm just laughing because I'm like, why would it make anybody a whore if they slept with someone in the first three dates? Who cares? If you might not, don't say that someone else is. You know, a whore because it doesn't, you know, roll in with you. And then for guys, like I've never met a dude and be like, dude, you know, I don't agree with your sexual choices. You're a whore. I've never told a dude that. I'm just like, good for you.
You know,
but I would never judge a woman for doing whatever she wanted to do. And I think it should be fair. Like on The Bachelorette, if Katie wants to have sex with five of the guys on the show, that's her choice. And if she chose to do that, there's nothing wrong with it. But the problem is, you know, Twitter's going to try to shame her for doing that. And I don't agree with it.
And you wouldn't take her home to meet mom anyway. So, I mean, you know, there's double standard on your side with that if you ran into Katie.
Why? What that have to do anything? Because, like, whoever I take home to meet my mom is not going to have any idea of their sex life.
Unless she watches The Bachelorette. You brought this hoe home?
No. And I'd be like, hey, mom, first of all, her name is Katie. And she's a good woman, and she's sex positive. Second of all, I'm going to need you to dial that back.
You're right.
So let's start
You're
over.
Right, Tell. She tested positive for too much damn sex.
Hey, you know, like, mom, you want your son to be an overachiever. This is what I do.
Now pat me on the back and wish me good luck.
Dad would give me a high five.
Hey, son, good job. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having just crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. We are those guys, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Yeah, you know, the way this has gone so far, we might as well start off with some bullshit, man, because there's so much bullshit that was in the news this week. And speaking of sex, I don't know if you want to start on this one, but I saw this, and it probably goes right into the whole Texas trying to be Florida. And, you know, Texas is going to Texas, Texas is going to Florida, Texas is going to Flexus. And usually when you hear these kind of stories, you think Florida man or Florida woman, right? Instead, mm-hmm. It's a Texas man. Sue's stripper, Houston stripper, for $2,000, a laptop, and then this is where they lost me, and a Harry Potter DVD collection. What in the holy hell is going on here?
Well, that tells you all you need to know about him. The Harry Potter DVD collection. I'm like, okay, you thought a stripper liked you. Oh, y'all thought y'all were dating. I get it, because you watch Harry Potter videos. You think this is love. She gave you a lap dance once a week, and you think y'all in a relationship?
Yeah.
No, boo. No. Because she even said, we were just platonic friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I love the fact that she was like, there's no refunds.
Yeah.
And she's like, what about all the gifts I've given him? How do I get my ass and breast back?
He was becoming a regular, and we did become friends. I really like him as a friend, and I still do.
We had a dating relationship, and on May 3rd, we had broken up.
Robert Wallace says he loaned the dancer about $2,000, and he wants it back, along with a laptop and some DVDs.
I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back.
Since the word loan doesn't seem to be in Nomi's vocabulary, and Robert says the cash and other items were not gifts, it looks like an out-of-court settlement is out of the question.
I've given him gifts, too. You know, I mean, how do I get my booty and boobs back?
That story just had me floored that this guy really thought that he's gonna get this stuff back. And I'm curious to see what's gonna happen. Just because he sued doesn't mean he's gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think this is a hilarious story.
The thing is, I need to use her defense, which is I don't believe in loans because I don't like to owe people anything. Yeah, student loan folks, I don't believe in loans. That was money you just gave me. Yes.
Sally Mae just gave me that $100,000. I thought it was a gift.
I thought it was a grant, that's all. I mean, yeah, I know it said loan. I thought y'all just misspelled it.
Yeah, no, I just laughed so hard because the Harry Potter DVD is what did it to me. I'm like, there's no way this dude, he's not a regular. Well, he probably is a regular at the strip club, but there's always that guy that thinks that they love him. I remember when I was a manager at Sonic when I was like 20, and there's this one assistant manager. The guy would spend about $500 a week at different strip clubs, and he was like a regular. Mm. And I was just like, dude, why do you go? And I don't knock people that go to strip clubs, do if you enjoy it. But he spends that much a week. And he really wasn't probably the most attractive guy, probably didn't get a whole lot of ladies, but he was a VIP at a few of these strip clubs in San Antonio. And I'm just like, you realize, like, they don't, you're not dating them. Like, they're just nice to you because you keep bringing $500 a week, you know, in. So they're just trying to keep the money train going.
All right.
You know, but you realize they don't really like you. But he was like, no, they're really nice. You know, we're friends. I'm just like, okay, sure. Y'all are friends. He was probably watching Harry Potter VHS tapes
exactly.
since that was back.
You know, the thing about it is, I also don't knock anybody who is into strippers and loves that a lot. I mean, I know a lot of strippers, and you know, especially being back in the Fayetteville days. I mean, at Magic City in Fayetteville, I mean, definitely know a lot of strippers there. But you know, who got my money? The bartender, because they could do something for me. You know, the strippers, all they could do is tease me. I don't need to be teased. I could get teased for free. I don't need to pay you to tease me, but the bartender could get me drunk.
Yeah. You know, I've never been a big strip club person. I can probably count on one hand how many times I've been. But I remember when I moved to Memphis, you know, all these restaurant managers I knew that lived in Memphis, they're like, oh, man, you got to go check out, I forget the name of the place, but I think they called it the Purple Church. And it was actually a church that they converted into a strip club. And the security guards, they were called deacons and all this other stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm not a really religious person, but I have no way in hell I'm going to that.
Was the DJ the choir director, and the main stripper was the pastor? And now for a sermon from Reverend Diamond.
Yes, you got Diamond coming down the pole with a tambourine. but along with this bullshit, staying in Texas and staying in Houston. Dave, my buddy Dave sent this to me about this guy who got shot for peeing in the street. So this guy apparently was going to either buy some drugs somewhere. That's what they're saying. How they know that, I don't know. This is what they said in the story. But I guess he had to pee. And as a guy, we've all been there. You know, it's not a gas station around. He chose to pee in the middle of the street.
Idea.
So residents saw that and they're like, hey, what the hell? So a conflict starts. Of course, which it should. I mean, if I see somebody peeing right outside in my middle of my street, outside my house, I'm gonna be like, hey, what the hell? So the dude peeing pulls out his gun. The other one pulls out his gun because in Texas, you know, pew, pew, pew.
That's how we
solve problems. So a shootout happens. The dude gets shot and killed for peeing in the street.
And we want everybody to have guns. Huh? So this is basically what we want. We want to go back to the Wild Wild West. This is what we want to do. First of all, so this guy was armed to the teeth because he pulled out two guns. Obviously, he had one out before. But, I mean, seriously, when this...
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
I'm just trying to understand, when does it become that serious that you got to go out and see somebody in the street and stop them from... I get it. They're peeing in the middle of the street. Some things you just got to let go. Now you're looking at a murder charge because you shot this guy and then you fled the scene. So once you fled the scene, there's no self-defense.
Right. And then you're going to try to claim, well, he pulled out his gun, so thus I had to shoot. And that's just what's stupid. There's certain things you just don't get shot over. So the guy was peeing in the middle of the street. Okay, is it the end of the world? Is it going to really ruin your HOA or your property value because somebody pissed in the street? Let it go.
Now,
you know, and the guy could have been drunk on something, whatever. Just like, why did it have to get that serious that it had to come to gunfire all because somebody peed in the street? Now, again, if I see someone peeing in the street in front of my house, you know, I'm going to say, hey, but I'm not going to shoot him over it.
Again, you know, Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. This is, you're really not helping the case here. And Dave is not helping you out in defending Texas in this because this, if this said Florida man shot dead for peeing in the street, we'd go, of course, it's fucking Florida.
We would. But, you know, as a Texas resident, I'm like, damn it. Why is my state just doing this stupid shit? You know, but that's just dumb. And this makes me not, I mean, I'm not a big confrontation person. I'm not scared to say what I need to say to somebody, but I tend to walk away from a lot of stuff because it's not that serious. You know, there's just no reason for me to like really get into this violent confrontation with somebody because They're taking the piss in the middle of the street.
And more along those lines, as you've seen recently, I've seen this pop up in the news even more, just a road rage, and somebody gets in a road rage and shooting into a car, and the kid gets killed. So you, even when you're driving, ease off that horn. Watch out for that road rage. Because people are mentally unstable right now. And I think this is one thing that we're noticing with all these plane incidents that are happening in the air, mid-air. People trying to get into the cockpit. Another one trying to open the door. People are not mentally stable. And you've got to be aware and be on your P's and Q's. And when you used to talk shit to people all the time, you may want to watch your mouth and just bite your tongue this time. Just leave it alone. Because unless you're ready to go all the way, and especially now that we want everybody to have guns, everybody should have guns. This is the Wild Wild West. You know, nah. You might want
to... Yeah, that's my advice for anybody that wants to come visit the great state of Texas. You know, when that sign says don't mess with Texas, they mean it. So if you come here... Mind your business.
If you see somebody pissing in the street, just go, oh, it's Flexus. Never mind.
Yeah. Just mind your business. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You don't want to get that smoke over somebody peeing in the street.
Somebody who should have minded their business. I got this one in the email box, rgrtpod@gmail. And it's, oh my God, I can't believe this story. So apparently this actually happened in January, and now this hospital worker is finally getting sentenced for it. But just minutes after a patient dies of COVID-19, she takes the debit card, goes to the vending machine, and gets some snacks out and uses the vending machine. And then when caught about it and confronted about it, says, no, well, I picked up the card off the floor and I must have got it mixed up with my cards, and that's what it was. Yeah. How bad do you have to be? And what is really going through your mind? And again, we just talk about his mental health, that you take someone who just passed, use their credit card or their debit card to go get yourself something to eat.
So... she is wrong on all accounts, right? She is totally wrong.
Comma.
But.
I knew this was coming.
But I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. Have you ever been just really starving? Like, you know, you are just super hungry. Now, a lot of nurses in hospitals, they have their wallets in their locker, which is in a different part of the hospital, but you're hungry right now. Now, you figure the patient died. You know, it was chips, a soda, and a candy bar. $3. They're not going to miss it. You know, like this, and I have to satisfy that hunger because hangry is kicking in, and I got to do all this paperwork because the patient just died. So I just wanted to go get a couple quick snacks. No harm, no foul. It's $3.
That's going to be your excuse.
I'm just saying, maybe she was just starving. Like, you ever just been like, I need to eat.
You are the worst lawyer ever. Matter of fact, guilty, and lock that goddamn lawyer up. I mean,
like, Your Honor, have you ever been hungry? Like, really hungry? And you have a split decision to make. Do you run to the other side of the hospital to go get your locker, leaving the patient there? Or do you just go grab their card, get you a little chips, soda, and a candy bar, and then help finish up everything with the patient while you're getting your snack on?
Mr. Terrell?
Win-win.
Mr. Terrell, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court. I'd like you to sit in this jail cell overnight. As a matter of fact, over the next 2 nights, and think about asking me such a dumbass question ever again.
Well, Your Honor, I maybe you're right. I do need some time. Can I borrow $3? I need to get some chips, soda, and a candy bar. I can't think on an empty stomach.
Here, use my debit card.
Yeah. just let me hold your debit card real quick, Jan. Just want some chips. Just want some Doritos. That's all I want.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. You know, I saw this thing the other day, and I don't know if you what you think about it, but employees quitting rather than giving up working from home.
Yeah, I did see that, and you know, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if that's what you choose, because your employers are going to, you know, a lot of employers are going to have their people coming back to work maybe in September, coming back to the office. And you've had a lot of people who for the last year have gotten comfortable with working from home. And it really is convenient. And you find a lot more people, I think, you work more when you work from home than if you had to do the 8 to 5. But it's convenient for parents, you know, when it comes to taking care of children and all these different things. And so if you want to quit your job, go for it, because there's a whole lot of jobs out there. Just make sure you can land another one. If you quit a good job, mm-hmm. and now you're, you know, the federal employment's going away. If you quit a good job and because they ask you to go back to the office, I hope you have a plan.
Right.
And if you do, great. But if you quit just to quit, hey, you should never just quit and walk out. And that's what this person did in that story.
Yeah.
But because it's never a good look to do that. But have a plan B. And if you don't, I don't want to see you like a month, 2 months later in a viral video complaining about I can't find work and no one to hire me. They're discriminated against me. It's like, no, you chose to quit.
Yeah.
So own that shit.
Well, they always say the best time to look for a job is when you have one. But I'm not surprised by this, because I think when people got a chance to work from home and saw that they can still be productive, you know, you see all these other studies. People are having more sex at home. Duh. They're at home. I'm here in the middle of a Teams meeting. I got my camera off, and you walk by in your thong. I'm like, they won't know. That's what got Jeffrey Toobin in trouble. See?
Yep. Yep.
Just make sure you don't accidentally do it in front of the camera. But again, you've got all these things that, you know, so many things you can do around the house. Like all of a sudden now, you're not wasting time after work doing laundry, because you can do laundry while you're doing work. Because, yeah, you're in one meeting, the washer's going. That meeting's over because it's an hour long. You get to move the clothes to the dryer, and you're in another meeting, or you're doing some work, and you get to do so many other things around the house. So you need to get something fixed around the house, so a handyman has to come over. Well, you're there as opposed to being at work for 8 to 10 hours a day. I can understand why people are going, you know what, I get so much more done. My life is so much better. That work-life balance, and we've been talking about this work-life balance for years. I think over the last 10, maybe 15 years, that work-life balance has been a little bit more important, right? You and I both mm-hmm. have a friend, and probably I would call him more friend than you would, that works 10 hours a day, but every other Friday they're off. That work-life balance alone, they don't think about 10 hours working right. for 10 hours a day. I mean, hell, you work 10 hours a day now, and that's probably 6-7 days a week, and not getting every other Friday off. But those are things that people were doing right. in the office. And if you have that kind, then people are more likely to go back to that work environment, because they have an entire day to get stuff done. And they have a 3-day weekend every yeah. other weekend. But if that's not what it's like in your office, maybe it's time to really think about what it's like. And do you really need somebody in there and everybody in the office space all the time? Because one, you can cut down on the overhead, unless you just signed a new lease. And, oh, boy, I'm sorry for you, because that 20-year lease is some mother. Oh, 10 or 20 years is a long time, especially if you're only 1 year into yep. it. But here's what it comes down to. If you're still productive and you don't need people in the building, then and you need to meet every so often, or maybe it's just 2 days in the office, 3 days from home, as long as work is getting done, what's the problem?
Yeah, I mean, it's really the employer's choice, and mm-hmm. it's the employee's choice to mm-hmm. abide by it. You know, I have a team of about 80, and majority of them all work remote, and I'm fine with that. You know, as long as you're producing, great, yep. work from home, cool. And, you know, we can meet on video in Teams meetings, and, you know, we do virtual happy hours and all that kind of stuff, too. But I don't have any issue with it as long as they're producing. But I might have some that want to go work in an office because they miss yeah. the socialization aspect. If you want to go to the office, go. Yeah. I'm fine. Like, I don't really care. But it depends on the employer. And you bring up a good point. If, you know, Yanni Industries had a office building that you bought and leased for 10 years and you're only in year 3 and the pandemic hits, and then you got to look at how much would it cost to get me out of this, and you're like, I'm going to lose a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Well, then everybody's coming back.
Y'all bring your asses back to
yeah,
work.
Get in here, get in them spots that I've been paying for. We got to use up this type of stuff. Because I think there are certain employers that have decided to sell their office space.
Yeah.
And look at the money that they save and bring to the bottom line, because they don't need to have that expense.
Yeah.
it just all depends, right? But if you work for a company that's wanting you to come back into the office and you're not comfortable with that, voice that with your leader, voice that with your HR team. But if you decide you're going to quit, have a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't agree with just having people in the office just so we can meet. You know, this could have been an email. This could have been a video call. But in this case where this young lady, you know, quit her job, have a plan B for it. Because if you, there's so many people that are going to be looking for work, especially as the federal unemployment ends across all states, mm-hmm. you're going to have a whole lot of people in the market competing for jobs. And so if you have a job that's paying you well and your only frustration is they want you to come back to the office, reevaluate it. Maybe ask, can I come to the office 3 days a week, 2 days work from home? I mean, you just got to talk, but just to quit?
Yeah.
I think that's dangerous.
Very dangerous. And you know, the thing about it is, I'm so down the middle on this conversation of back to the office or not, because I think, yeah, you can be more productive away. You may work more when you're working remotely. But also, I think there's a lot less work done in the office because people socialize a lot more in the office. But, you know, so whatever suits, I mean, but then again, I don't mind going in the office. I don't mind getting up and going somewhere to get it done. Of course, there's more. I find I eat a whole lot more when I'm sitting at home, so I don't mind taking my ass to work where the fridge isn't right there and I can just go get whatever the hell I want to eat. So it works out for me to get up and go to the office. So selfishly, yeah. I'm going to the office, and you're right. Yanni Industries, everybody, bring your ass back in here if I'm paying for this for the next 7 years.
Well, but in radio, everybody can't work remote and do radio because you need a studio, you need the right sound equipment. So a little bit different, right? But if... For me, I don't mind not going to an office. I've adapted and got used to now working from home because I'd never worked from home before until the pandemic started. And it took me a while to adjust. And then until I bought my house and moved in here, I'm able to do it well because I'm not doing it from my living room or my kitchen. I actually like leave my office, and that's me kind of checking out. But the other thing is I don't drive around. I save gas. Mm-hmm. I've not bought new clothes in over a year.
Yeah.
Which I need to fix that now that everything started to open back up because I don't really have to get dressed up to go anywhere. My dry cleaning bill is minimal, if anything. So it's kind of nice, you know, to be able to work from home. But again, you do work a lot longer, but I love it. And I think I hope employers, you know, give people the options to either work remote or work in the office. But, you know, there are some employers that could force everybody to come back to the buildings. And if they do, mm-hmm. and you're one of those and you're upset about that, have a plan B.
Yeah.
Because if you quit and you can't get a job,
and it's
bad news. And I think if you quit, you're not, they can decline your unemployment.
Right. If you quit. Yeah. And the thing about it, I think employers definitely have to take into consideration the mentality that has changed and just the entire concept. It can't be, well, the way things were, this has changed. 2020 changed the world for us, especially the work world for us. And yeah, it's a great thing because now you no longer have to be in... There were only certain industries that allowed you to be able to live in a different state and work remotely. Nowadays, now you don't have to be restricted by... geographically restricted. So if you can do the job, great. If you can't, you know, then, hey, good luck on the next one. I saw something here as it came in from CJ. He sent us a little while back about... For the Love of Sports, as we transitioned to For the Love of Sports. And one of the things he talked about was... The fact that we were talking about Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron, and he says, for the love of sports, guys, how can no one even mention Bill Russell's name in the GOAT conversation? So I was born and raised in North Carolina, lived there in the 70s and 80s, bleed Tar Heel blue, Jordan fan till the day I die, firmly dislike the Celtics as a Sixers fan, slash not a homer, but review these few stats. 13 years in the NBA, 11 NBA championships, he's wearing rings on his toes, he has so many. 12-time All-Star, 2-time NCAA champion at University of San Francisco. Yes, the Dons. He does nothing but win at all levels. Maybe not the GOAT, but deserves to be in the combo. I've said my piece. Smile, laughing emoji, basketball, hand praise emoji. I think I got those emojis right.
Well, I think CJ called it out. He said, may not be the GOAT. Okay, so then you agree with us, my man CJ. He's not the GOAT. So that's why he's not in those conversations.
He was playing when there were 8 teams in the league. It was basically intramural basketball. He was playing with a bunch of white guys. He was the born black guy.
There are so many great players that have some great stats, but They're not the GOAT. Even Larry Bird is not considered a
GOAT.
And
he was a beast.
Right? He's not in the GOAT conversation. He was phenomenal. Dirk Nowitzki, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Robert Horry has a whole lot of rings. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But not considered the GOAT. So, you know, CJ, I appreciate that, but I think you called it. He's not the GOAT, but he was a great player. And so, yeah, but he's not going to be in the GOAT conversation.
Right. Well, you know, Bron is not in the GOAT conversation this playoffs, especially since he's no longer in the playoffs. You're still keeping up with the playoffs, obviously, right?
Yeah, I'm still keeping up with it. It's I'm not one of those like my team's out, so forget basketball. You know, I don't do that. I want to watch because there's some good games, there's some good storylines in these games. The Phoenix Suns, oh my god, like they are, they have the chance to sweep the Nuggets tonight. You know, it's 3-0 right now. They're playing the Nuggets. Had a nice little fight in the stands at the other
the Phoenix
Friday's
Suns
game.
And the Phoenix Suns fans are whooping ass.
yeah, the Suns and the Suns fans are kicking ass and taking names. So
if Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover was a person, it's this dude.
Yeah. Now, here's what's funny is I'm giving them praise, but I guess that's like the kiss of death. So they're probably going to lose tonight because I said that they're going to sweep
because
the Nuggets.
We're recording this on Sunday. Of course, you're going to hear this on Monday. Yeah. And if you remember the last two weeks ago, Terrell said the Lakers are going to win. It's going to be 3-1, and the Lakers haven't won since. The Lakers are at home chilling.
Yep.
And then last week he said, you know, Dirk was going to do it. Not Dirk, Jovic, right? Djokovic.
Luka Doncic.
I knew it was one of those itches.
Well, we know you're pretty familiar with itches, so go ahead.
So, and you said that Dallas is going to win, and of course that was a kiss of death. And so let's see if you could go 3-for-3 because you just said the Suns are going to close it out.
I said the Suns could close it out, but I'm going to call it. There's four games that's going on. So I will say that Suns are going to sweep the Nuggets today, 4-0. You have the Nets and the Bucks. The Nets have been up. Nets have been dominating. And I think James Harden, I don't know if he's playing this afternoon, but I think the Nets are going to beat the Bucks today and go up 3-1. Then you have the 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks. That's been a good series, but I'm going to take Philly over Atlanta to go 3-1. That game's tomorrow. And then you got the Jazz and the Clippers. I'm going to take the Jazz. And I'm going to say the Jazz are going to beat the Clippers and go up 3-1. There you have it. There's my predictions.
So basically, by the time everybody plays between today and tomorrow, we're going to have one series that's 3-1 and the other three are going to be 2-2. And if that
happens,
I want you to pick numbers for the lottery for us, just so that I know not to play those numbers and I have a chance to win. Speaking of numbers, got this one in the email as well, rgrtpod@gmail, and it was asking about LeBron giving up his number 23, because apparently now he's giving up number 23, going back to number 6, which apparently is something he wanted to do last season, right, when Anthony Davis was coming on. But then Nike was like, hold up. We got too much invested in that number 23, so you got to keep it. So now this year he's supposed to be doing it. But then word is Anthony Davis is keeping number 3, so why is he really giving it up? Is it because of Space Jam 2, because he wears number 6 in Space Jam 2?
I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, wear whatever number you want. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Kobe going from, you know, 8 to 24. Mm-hmm. Cares? You know, personally, I think it's his number. They can do what they will with it. Just don't freaking lose the playoffs next year. With whatever number you have on, I need you to get my Lakers back to a championship. Mm-hmm. So do what you got to do.
Well,
and I think it's probably right that he's switching to 6 because of Space Jam 2. Mm-hmm. Are you going to watch Space Jam 2?
No, I didn't watch the first one, so I'm not watching this one.
I just want to hear the music. I did this last week.
Oh, please don't. No, please don't. Please don't. And just like LeBron, do you remember when LeBron was going to the Heat?
Yep.
And he switched out of 23 and went to 6. Mm-hmm. He went with 6 because that was his Olympic number. And he said, if I remember correctly, he said back then, nobody should wear 23 in the league because that should be a sacred number. That was George's number, not just for the Bulls, but across the league. Nobody else should wear 23 again, right? And then everybody else was like, yeah, shut up. And they kept wearing their 23s. So when he went back to the Cavs, what did he do? He went back to 23. And I'm like, what happened to nobody should wear 23? You should be – take 6. You can get some new jerseys. It's fine. But, and then he went to the Lakers, and he went with 23. What happened? No, you're supposed to – you said it should be retired.
Well, money talks and bullshit runs a marathon. So I'm sure Nike was like, hey – we got this deal for this next contract. Mm-hmm. Here's what we need you to do. To put on that number 23. And then once LeBron saw those zeros, he's like, yeah, I can do that.
He's like, so here's what I was thinking. I was thinking if I wear 23.
He's like, you got to pay me how much? Yeah, I mean, hey, I don't blame him. Make that money. But I'm sure there's probably some financial things behind that. I doubt he just, I'll wear this jersey. Okay, now I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah.
Because there's money involved in that. So good for him, though.
Yeah, again.
Just win.
I really don't care what number he wears. I just, I noticed the hypocrisy when he went back to Cleveland. I was just like, let's see if he ever changes again. And now he's in LA. He's going to change it. Okay, cool, whatever. I'm neither here nor there. Again, I like LeBron as a person. I'm not a fan of his game. And I just want him to stop flopping. Maybe number 6 will help him stop flopping. I don't know. Maybe we'll hold him up a little bit better than the 23 did. Who knows? Probably not, because that's when he really started flopping. So last week, we recorded on Sunday, as we do every week. So we didn't get a chance to really talk about this fight. You said you weren't going to watch it. Did you? Mayweather?
Nope.
Logan Paul. Did you see the highlights?
Did not watch it. Nope. I saw I didn't even watch the highlights. What I did see was the article or story where they were saying that Floyd could have knocked him out, mm-hmm. and they, held him up. And then I saw the end where, Logan was giving Floyd props. But I was like, this is just dumb. It's just a big money grab.
Oh, yeah.
And, Floyd, could he have knocked Logan Paul out? Of course he can.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he can, but he's not going to do it. And then I saw the stat line of how many punches Logan Paul threw compared to how many Floyd threw and what his how many he actually landed. And I'm just like, yeah, no wonder you were tired. he was like Cuba Gooding Jr. in Boys in the Hood. He's just
But that's why you can tell those who watch boxing and those who occasionally watch boxing, right? Like the whole it reminded me of the Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury first fight, and they're like, "Oh, Deontay Wilder won because he knocked him down twice." I'm like, "Yeah, but he lost every other round." So no, it's the same thing. Logan Paul at the end of the first round is swinging. He threw a lot of punches and literally missed every last one of them. Floyd blocked every single one. He looked like Neo in the Matrix. Mm-hmm. Just standing there, or Bruce Lee in one of those old karate movies. You remember those sounds? So that's exactly what it looked like, and because it looked good, but none of those punches are landing.
Right.
And Floyd really took it easy. He was just playing with him. It's like, you seen a lion just play with his food, or just, a predator play with his food. It's one of those things, because literally it's what he did. There was one point Logan Paul drops his head, and as Floyd hit him with a body shot, he drops his head right into Floyd's body, right? And Floyd literally has his hands out. He looks like he's about to throw a hook and stops, because if he threw that hook into his body, it would have curled him up. He would have been done. And he was, if this was a real fight, he would have ate him alive. He would have cracked his ribs, laid him out right there because he could. He never tried to hurt him. He just, I'm going to embarrass you, let you see a couple things here. Like, you can't hurt me, but we got to put on a show, because at the end of the day, there's $120 million at the end of this for me, and there's $20 million for you. And there are people who are mad that Logan Paul walked away with $20 million. And I understand why they're mad, because it seems like a mockery to the sport. But if you're mad about that, there's more shit to be mad about. Like, this past weekend, you had Lamar Odom versus Aaron Carter as the headlining fight on Friday night, which was, you know, all celebrity boxing. And that was just horrible to watch. I mean, I don't know. Did you see the highlights of that? No. Okay. So you...
No, I didn't. I forgot it was even happening. I didn't see the highlights of that. Carter... But I'm just picturing long-armed Lamar Odom and, you know, Aaron Carter. I'm like, why? It's like, why would you do
that? Now, I will say, Aaron Carter got a couple hits in. And you can see, and they're wearing full training headgear, right? Or Olympic headgear, like they're wearing the Olympics, so that they don't get hurt, right? And you can see him actually landing some punches on Lamar Odom and just getting in and getting those in. But they're not doing anything to Lamar. Lamar's like, okay, all right, get away from me, you fly. And he literally just kind of like pushes him out of the way. I mean, Lamar Odom is a world-class athlete. Regardless of what you think of him and say, oh, he's been out of the league for this many years. Oh, he was addicted to this, addicted to that. World-class athlete. And he's like 100 feet tall. So regardless, if he just does pushes, well, you're going to go far.
Aaron Carter, though, is really, he's really white. And so maybe Lamar would just like had a flashback like it was a crack pipe and was like, no, get it. That's wrong. I'm wrong for that. I apologize, Lamar Odom. I'm wrong for that. I should have made a joke about that. I just thought it was, it just came to my head and I thought it was funny. So I apologize, Lakers for life.
Oh, Jesus. So, and if that was bad, if you think that was bad, there was something else, a full on card, pay per view card, that was in the same place as the Floyd Mayweather Logan Paul fight. It was called Social Gloves, Live by Live, Battle of the Platforms. Now, Live by Live should let you know what it is, and Battle of the Platforms. YouTubers versus TikTokers. YouTubers versus TikTokers.
Yeah.
I'll repeat this one more time. YouTubers versus TikTokers.
It's so dumb, but it just goes to show there's money to be made out there. You just got to find a way to do it. I mean, look at a lot of these YouTubers. Some of the content that they have, like, doesn't do anything for me, but they have hundreds of thousands of followers, and they're getting deals and all that kind of stuff. They get 2 million views on some of the most stupid, you know, TikTok videos, whatever, but some of them are funny, right? And my concern is that somebody's going to wind up getting hurt in these boxing matches because they're not trained. They're not like, there's going to come a time where somebody is going to get really hurt. But right now it's just making a mockery of it, but make your money. If that's what you want to do, I just think it's dumb. Like if we blow up and they're like, hey, we want y'all to do a celebrity fight. I'm like, nope. Then wait, how much? Well, shoot.
So what number you want me to wear?
Yeah, what number you want me to...
and to your point, you said hundreds of thousands of followers, right? The lowest number of followers I saw on that card was 2 million, right? There was a guy, Michael Lee, who got knocked out in the second round. He just got pulverized, and he got literally... It looked like a... Yeah, it was bad. He has 48 million followers. So, if you combine all, and the two headliners, they had 19 million followers, subscribers on YouTube, and 19.9 followers on TikTok. So I think when you go ahead and add all of them up, right, from everybody that fought, you're looking at least 100 million followers, right? So here's why it makes business sense. Mm-hmm. Because they did it in the same sense of what Triller was doing. They had a concert and matches, right? So it was all entertainment. There were people in the stands, and they sold a lot of tickets for that, right? So there are people, it's in Miami, it's a Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. And then you've got Lil Baby headlining the show. You had the Migos performing, you had DJ Khaled performing, Trippie Redd, and Big Lotto. And so you had all these hip hop acts performing, and that's in between each match. And if 100 million people and 10%, just 10% of their followers decided to buy the pay-per-view. And if the pay-per-view, I don't know how much the pay-per-view was, let's say it was $50. That's $500 million right there. Can you understand why that fight is there? I can understand it. But you got to think, and on the same night, you've got UFC 263 with the style bender Israel Adesanya fighting. And he is like the guy in MMA right now, in UFC right now, besides Usman. And you've got this fight that's making money at the same time. Again, I can't blame him for. Am I excited about it? No. Did I sit there and watch that bullshit?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I actually did. I wanted to see this bullshit. I was like,
of course you did. Well, do you think it also could be that, you know, we grew up in an era of, you know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, Leon Spinks, you know, Larry Holmes, Tyson.
I didn't care about that until Tyson, but yeah.
Holyfield. Mm-hmm. Like, but I'm just thinking, like, we grew up seeing these type of fighters. A lot of these YouTubers and TikTokers have no idea who those people are. And so for them, it's just entertainment. It's not about the actual sport of boxing. And I think that's maybe the divide between those of us who think this is stupid compared to the people that are going to pay the $50 to watch this crap, right? And so maybe that's what it is, just a different generation. And kudos to the boxing world because it was dying. If you really think about it, I mean, UFC Ultimate Fighting was killing boxing. And so it's starting to come back with these crazy cards, you know, and that people actually want to watch. So maybe it is kind of a win-win all around. And just the rest of us old folks who look at boxing as, you know, Mike Tyson only, we have to just change our perspective.
Here's the thing about it. I think people say it's making a mockery of the sport, and I get why you'd say that. I think it actually gives a little bit more respect to the sport in some sense or the other, right? And I think it's a little bit of that and a little bit of the mockery of the sport, because you have those who are like, yeah, well, I won, so I think, I'm ready to take on anybody else. And you're not ready to take on a professional. Stop it. You wouldn't last 30 seconds. because those wide shots, those wide looping shots, you will get cracked down the middle like that. It's boxing is point A to point B, right? But I think people think it's so easy to get in the ring and fight for 3 minutes and take a 1 minute break. When they fought, it was 2 minutes, 5 2-minute rounds. And as you're looking at them getting tired, like Deji fought Vinny Hacker, I think it was the guy's name, right? So Vinny Hacker is this 18-year-old skinny white dude, right? Cut like hell because, of course, he's 18 years old. He's got no fat. Deji's a little bit like in his mid-20s. He's fought before. He's KSI's brother who fought Logan Paul. Remember, this is where all this shit started, KSI and Logan Paul fighting. So Deji starts out, and he's actually winning the fight. Just really seems to be manhandling. But then he got gassed. He got gassed so bad that I think it was at the start of the third round or the fourth round. As the round started, he backed up into the ropes and just took a knee because he needed some more time to gather himself. Well, that 10 seconds goes by pretty fast. And by the time he got up, Vinny was like, oh, word? Backed him in a corner and beat the shit out of him. And they stopped the fight. And even the commentators were like, I can't believe this. We just said this was going to be the easiest fight of the night and it was going to be Deji was going to easily win this. And it went the exact opposite way. And that's the part. If you don't take it serious, like the professional boxers will tell you this all the time, you don't play at boxing. You do it or you don't. When you step in that ring, even sparring, you don't play. I've been dazed by a jab. That shit looks like it's nothing until you get hit with it. And you start seeing two bird flying around your head. Wait a minute. What the hell?
Yeah, no. I've done one boxing workout. My cousin, have a couple cousins that they were, they did boxing and kickboxing and all that type of stuff. And so my cousin was like, hey, you want to work out with me one time? I'm like, yeah, you know, show me how to do some of that stuff. Shoot. That was like, no, it was super tough. And so you're right. If you don't take the training seriously and really prepare for that, again, that goes to my point about somebody's going to get hurt, you know, if they don't, if they're not paying attention, someone's going to get hurt and it's going to cause a problem. So hopefully, you know, everyone that sees these fights and sees what can happen, they actually train hard and take it serious.
That snapping of the neck is very dangerous. I don't think people realize that. When you get punched in the face and your neck snaps back, that's very dangerous. There's a reason why Floyd used to always do those head exercises, strengthen the neck, because that shit's dangerous. There are people who die in the ring.
Yeah.
And it's you don't play at boxing.
No, you don't. You don't. I agree. Well, speaking of people you don't play with, Ted Cruz.
You can play at politics. Trump proved that.
Politics as usual. You know, every week I try to look to see what dumb things come out of Ted Cruz's mouth. This week he actually hadn't said anything, but I don't want to forget about why we are, I'm sorry, not we, I am all about this initiative to vote Ted Cruz out. So for those new listeners, let me just remind you what happened. We had a thing called Snowpocalypse that happened here in Austin, Texas. That's not Ted Cruz's fault, right? But a lot of a lot of people in Texas had no power, all these different issues. That's not Ted Cruz's fault. And during that, Ted Cruz and his family decided to go to Cancun because it was cold, which, hey, I don't blame.
That's also not Ted Cruz's fault.
Go ahead and go to Cancun. The issue I have with him is he lied about it. He tried to say it was like, you know, a planned trip with his daughters. Nope. It was a big thing. His wife got, you know, text messages got exposed. They were trying to get out because it was cold. And they were trying to invite other people because they have great security and they get a good rate. And so he takes off to Cancun. So, of course, everybody in Texas is like, hey, dude, what the hell? Now, he could have brought his laptop. I don't know. They have Wi-Fi in Cancun. So then the next day he flies back. And then try to make it seem like it was like, hey, you know, it was my daughter's deal. I was just escorting them, but now I'm back for the citizens. And then instead of quarantining, he goes to get some photo ops of loading a couple cases of bottled water in somebody's trunk to make it seem like he gives a shit. And so for that part, the fact that you lied, that's why I'm anti-Ted Cruz. So every week you'll hear me say something about Ted Cruz, and 99.9% of the time it won't be positive. I know he's a family man, you know, loves his family, loves his kids. I get it. But you're a lying politician, along with a lot of other politicians. But when I catch you in your bold-faced lie, call you out. So vote him out.
Well, you're not going to give his wife props for, you know, not being selfish and trying to invite some of her friends along and to take part in this great rate that they had?
That's just neighborly. You know, that's the hookup, right? That's what we call it. Hey, I got a hookup in Cancun. I know you're cold. Do y'all want to get in this car, ride with us, take this private plane, and go to Cancun?
Exactly.
Text me back if you ain't.
It's only going to cost you this couple thousand dollars. We'll be fine, and we'll be warm. You know, she tried to hook her friends up, and yeah, they ratted her out. So her friends.
They sure did. Sure did. This is why I don't do mass text messages. Max test messages or mass messenger, whatever. Mm-hmm. I always remove myself because that's how you get caught.
It's the anti-group text. Well, also anti-Texas right now because I keep telling you this. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus and vote Ted Cruz back in. I admire your efforts. I love the fact that you're going hard at this. You explain why and you keep pushing the point like this is why. It's not just because I don't agree with Ted Cruz and his political agenda, but here's why. Because he bold-faced lied and he didn't even follow the recommendations for quarantine when leaving the country and returning. So I get it. I totally respect it, but as judged by and as proven by this bullshit we had today with the man peeing in the street and the Houston stripper who doesn't believe in loans, Texas is going to flex us. And thank you, CJ, for the graphic, because that's an amazing graphic. It looks great here.
So if it does, it's a win-win for us because that gives me two more years of content to talk shit. So...
Two more years of just complaining.
Yeah.
And somebody says, do something about it. I've been trying, goddammit, but Texas won't help me.
I've been trying. I'm doing my part. You guys keep voting this dude back in. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I hope you're wrong.
I'll be honest. I hope I'm wrong, too. Unfortunately, yeah. I'm always right. So, I'm sorry.
Well, with all this stupid shit that's happening in Texas and different laws getting passed... yeah, it's crazy over here. You might want to wait before you come visit me.
Oh, I'm definitely waiting. You know, I got to be strapped up to get to Texas. Jesus Christ. It's the wild, wild west. Got to make sure I have my horse with me, too.
Yeah.
What you drinking today, man?
Before we started recording, I've been doing this thing where I make these smoothies. Mm-hmm. So I had a really good smoothie. Today, you know, kale, spinach, Honeycrisp apple, banana, and blueberries, some flaxseed protein powder, some good stuff.
Sounds like
you should try.
Sounds like a laxative.
I know you don't like eating vegetables.
Sounds like a laxative.
No, No, that's it sounds like a lot of nutrients.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of good, healthy nutrients. You should try it. Since you don't like vegetables, that's just looking out for your health.
And I appreciate that. But I've got a smoothie of my own I'm over here sipping on. It's made by the Red Bull Energy Company.
Okay, let me ask you this. What's the serving size on that can? What's it say in there for the servings?
8.4 fluid ounces.
No, on the back, on the nutrition value,
serving size,
what's the
one
servings?
Can. It's one serving.
Yeah, and all that nasty ingredients
yeah, exactly.
in there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you've got no fat, got some sodium, got some carbohydrate, a shitload of sugar, no proteins. Yeah. 80% vitamin B12 and 250% vitamin B6. Yeah, it's great.
All right. You keep drinking those, you got to come down with the sugars.
This is inspiration for me to hit the gym tomorrow. I just got to make it through the day. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.